Welcome back, everybody, to the All Things Sports Podcast. Today's guest is a special one. He's somebody that I grew up with, and it's somebody that I've known for a pretty long time. He has impressed everybody, not just his friends, not just his family, but just about anybody that kind of sees what's going on in the college basketball world. Corey Felder is here today. He is a grad assistant at DePaul for their basketball team. Let's talk some basketball, Corey. How are you doing today, man?
Doing good, man. Excited to be on here. Thanks for having me.
Anytime, anytime. It was like something that I wanted to do for so many months. We finally found a time and we have a lot to talk about. So for those...
Been super hectic, man. I'm glad we were able to find some time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you've been everywhere. You were just at the NBA draft. You obviously had the season before this. Finally, I was able to take advantage of your chill time. Corey, for those that are listening in today, do you want to just explain kind of like who you are, how you got to where you were, just like the basic facts about Corey Felder?
Yeah, so I've been around sports my entire life. I mean, I played basketball and baseball growing up since before I can remember. Quickly realized that I was not going to be good enough to play at a high level. So I rode the wave as long as I could, and eventually I realized I wanted to get into coaching or representation or something along those lines. Growing up, my dad was an NBA agent, and we were always around college teams, college players, college coaches, whatever the case may be. And just taking all that in, I realized that it was something that I wanted to be around in the future. So as I got older, I looked for opportunities in the sports world, whether that was interning with Chris Brickley's Black Ops Basketball, those runs in New York, or NBA PA camps, whatever the case was, I was trying to get myself involved, put myself out there and make some connections. But ultimately, I wanted to be a student manager in college. I heard so much about how awesome of an experience it was and how rewarding it was as a feeling to travel with the team and be a part of something bigger than yourself. So when that process came about, I was looking into some of the Big Ten schools. I was looking at Ohio State, Indiana, and Maryland, I believe, were my final three, just to say. So I knew wherever I went, I wasn't going to make my decision purely off that, but wherever I went, I wanted to go somewhere where I could be a manager, had an opportunity to get involved. So luckily, I had a mutual connection at Ohio State, which was the school I ultimately decided to go to because my cousin was there at the time and I'd visited and I had such a great time. But I had Larry Harrison, who at the time was an assistant coach at West Virginia, reach out to Terry Johnson, who has since moved on from Ohio State to Purdue as an assistant coach. And he was able to get me a sit down with Coach Holtman. And I sat down with him, had an interview. Got the opportunity to work there as a student manager. Once that concluded, I mean, I had the greatest 4 years ever. We had some trips, like we went to the Bahamas. It was a part of the Maui Invitational, just some things that we played at Duke, which is just kid things you dream about as a kid that I got to live out. But once that came to a close, unfortunately, Ohio State doesn't do graduate assistant positions, and I knew I wanted to continue my coaching path. So I started looking around. Another mutual person through connections. My dad was close with Tony Stubblefield at the time, who was the coach at DePaul for the last three seasons prior to this one. He actually offered me the position to work as a graduate assistant here at DePaul. Obviously, the season didn't go as we planned. It was a tough season for those that know or follow college basketball. It was arguably one of the worst of all time, but it's obviously a lot of opportunity to grow and learn from. But after that, Coach Holtman was selected to replace Coach Stubblefield. And obviously I had the connection with him 4 years at Ohio State and really built a relationship with him and texted him as soon as he got the job saying how excited I was to be back with him. And he shot me back a text right away. I mean, I think it was like 2 or 3 in the morning that night. We had just finished our season and, you know, everybody around me was kind of sad because it had come to a close, but I had this internal emotion that I couldn't explain or show around people that I was just so excited to of what was to come. So Wow. Yeah, that's where I'm at now and excited to get into this year, man.
Dude, I'm so happy for you, honestly. And I have a lot of questions about your experience right now, full circle, it seems like, with Coach Holtman. I want to talk about your previous experience. So you mentioned Black Ops Basketball. For those that don't know, you probably do know, you just probably don't know the name of it. Those are the runs that happen in the off season at the gym, quote unquote, the gym that nobody misses in. What was that like? And first of all, who was the coolest guy that you've seen in those runs? Because we've seen LeBron in those runs. Who's the coolest guy that you've seen?
So I actually got to intern with him, like, I think it was the beginning of my high school time or middle of high school. And that was when, like, he was really popping off on social media and all those videos are going viral, whether it was Hoodie Mello. Or fun fact about Hoodie Mello, I'm actually the kid in the videos rebounding for him.
Are you serious?
That's a little something that people don't know. So if you look back at those videos, you'll see I'm the one rebounding. I could show you some pictures after you, Matthew, but
I'm looking this up right now. Keep going.
Yeah. So I got some of those pictures with him. So I was involved with that. I mean, seeing guys like KD come in, J.R. Smith, LeBron, I mean, everybody in the NBA at the time that was popping, I mean, that was the place to be. So being around there, and I just did small tasks around there. I was in charge with the scoreboard, you know, the shot clock. I mean, I got some guys really heated towards me when I was messing up that shot clock. I mean, guys were yelling at me. But little things like that, wiping up the sweat, giving them water, making sure it was running smoothly, just things that I wanted to do that I knew, like I did that because I knew I wanted to be around it so bad that I was willing to do whatever it took. So yeah, that experience was awesome. And now Chris has since blown up and I feel like he's too big time for me now, but you know, we still talk every once in a while. So it's really great.
That's such a cool experience. I feel like every kid dreams of, I mean, from somebody else that is in the industry and that's always dreamt of being in sports, to start off doing that right away, it must have been so fulfilling and so cool. And Ohio State basketball. So being a manager, I kind of know what it's like. I don't think a lot of people know what it's like, but it's basically a job. It's all the time. You're constantly doing things for players. You're constantly just being there. I wanted to ask you about like your social life and how you kind of balance that in college. How did you balance that in college? And was your social life existent at all? What was the balance like with work, being with friends, and being a manager?
So it was kind of the best of both worlds. I know a lot of people that are in managing say that they don't have time for an outside life, but I somehow was able to make it all work. I was in a fraternity at the time too at school. So I kind of like to tell people I had essentially two fraternities, my friends at basketball and the players and the coaches that I was around, as well as my actual fraternity friends. So it was definitely tough. I had some nights where I was scrambling out of the arena to get to an event or vice versa, leaving an event to get to a 6 a.m. rebounding session. And those sessions were unpaid. I mean, people don't know that, but a lot of schools pay or give tuition. Ohio State's completely unpaid. So it's purely out of the love for the game, but we still, you know, with such a big school, big student body, it's such a warranted job that people all want, such a coveted job, that they're able to find people that just genuinely love it. And we had a staff of about 15 to 20 people. So it was just awesome. We'd always have great pickup games before practice. We'd be sweating before Coach Holtman walked in the door, but yeah, it was definitely tough to balance those two, but I think I did the best I could. I kind of got lucky that during my freshman year, when I was first getting into my fraternity, COVID hit. So I didn't really have to engage in all that activity, but you know, it was an awesome experience that looking back on it, those nights that I was scrambling around and I felt like my head was going to explode, they were all worth it. And I wish I could relive those moments for sure.
100%, I'm sure. And it's interesting. I didn't necessarily know that sometimes manager positions kind of cut into tuition costs or that they give you scholarship money. I actually had no idea about that. So that kind of puts things into perspective, because I know at Maryland, there was no scholarship. It was the same thing.
For sure. I didn't know it even existed until I got to DePaul, actually. DePaul, they post it as a full-time job or part. I don't know if it's listed as full-time or part-time, but it's hourly and they get compensated pretty well, which is, I always joke that I would take a third of what they make an hour at Ohio State just to get some money on top of what I was doing. But you know, I'll never regret what I did. That was an awesome experience.
Of course, you put in a lot of time, a lot of effort into the organization, of course, for the team, for the players, you did a lot. And I don't think it gets spoken about enough. I feel like now there's a little recognition that's kind of coming out with managers, but the amount of time that you put in, the things you do, like, it's definitely worth talking about. And the value that you guys have is more than people think. Did you travel with the team?
Yeah, so the way we did it at Ohio State was basically you would get ranked in terms of your seniority. So as a freshman, you would get one road trip just to get your feet wet a little bit, have the experience, see what the older guys were doing on the road. It's a lot that goes into it. People don't understand like all the bags and what they mean and what needs to go in, what needs to go on the plane. It's a lot, but essentially you would work your way up. As a freshman, you would only get one. Sophomore, you'd get like a handful, 3 to 5. Junior, it was like 8. And then as a senior, my senior year, it was just me and another senior leader. So the two of us basically, every trip, one of us was on it. So more than most of them we were on. But I know a lot of other schools have a system like DePaul where basically, you have your top guys, your three or four that are at the top that have put in those hours that they get to go on every trip, which seems awesome, but it's exhausting. Like when you get back from a road trip, all you want to do is go to sleep, man. It's exhausting. It takes a lot out of you. But
That's awesome.
I'll be interested to see how we do it now with the new staff here. But I'm sure it'll be similar to what we did at Ohio State.
100%. That's tiring, very tiring. But only some are cut for it. It seems like you are. So let's talk about your transition to DePaul. And I want to touch on your career goals and aspirations here. Obviously, you wanted to be in sports. Your dad's in sports. He's an agent. He's been around athletes his entire life. You've been around them. You want to be in the industry. I can relate. I just love sports. I embrace sports. Was coaching always kind of what you thought you were going to do, or did that kind of just like come about? And you were like, I know you were saying how, okay, I didn't think I was good enough to play, so I thought I could just coach. But what about from like a front office position? Like, where do you kind of see yourself going, and what did you see yourself doing? And if you don't have an answer, that's fine. I'm just genuinely curious.
Yeah. Like I said to you earlier, Matt, off the podcast, I mean, I don't truly know exactly what it is that I want to do long term. I just know for now that I definitely have seen the insides side of coaching, and coaching has definitely caught my attention more than it did in the past. I never really thought of myself as a coach, but now being around it more, I think that's probably the path that I want to go on. But I'm also very interested in the representation side. I love looking at contracts and analyzing opt-outs and all that stuff. And being around that with my dad is definitely nights like the draft the other night just make me really want to do that too. So it'll be tough. I mean, I'm a big proponent for living in the moment, and you can't really control the future. So just do your best job at wherever you're at, and I think it'll all just work itself out. So I don't really have an exact answer for you, long term or what it was as a kid, but I just knew something along the lines of being involved for sure.
100%. And I think a mix of kind of, living in the moment and letting something come to you with, combining that with what your dad does and being inspired by it and loving it and making that a passion. I think you have a really good mindset. And I think, you're still young. You're a year younger than me. Like, you got so much time to kind of figure out which path you want to go down. But 100%. And I want to talk about the draft. But first, I want to talk about your experience last year with DePaul. Like you mentioned, not the greatest season for them. Did that kind of take away from your experience? I can't imagine it did fully, but what was it like, and what were the conversations like tying in to like this season? What's different about this season than last season?
I wouldn't say it necessarily took away from my experience. I mean, every opportunity is an opportunity to grow. And I mean, people always want to be in sports and they want to be involved in winning and championships, and that's what they dream about. But no one really talks about the side of being fired or having to relocate your family and all that stuff that goes into it. And kind of seeing that firsthand as a young person was kind of a blessing in disguise because I got to see that downside without having to be really involved with it because I didn't have to relocate a family or try to find another job right away. So I wouldn't say it really took away from my experience. It was just more so unique coming from a place where we were known for winning a lot of games and automatic NCAA tournament appearances, and Coach Holtman being involved in like 8 of the last 9 NCAA tournaments he's coached or seasons he's coached. I definitely would say it was a new perspective, and I valued that new perspective. It was definitely tough. Losing 20, and I think it was 20 or 21 in a row at a point, 3 total wins. I mean, definitely takes its toll on you. I mean, mentally, physically, it questions what you're doing. It makes you think, do you have a say in this? Are you impacting it? Are you not living up to your potential? Can you add more value? Whatever the case may be. But tying that into the future, I don't really want to talk about that anymore, but I'm really excited. Today's day and age, it's very easy to not, I wouldn't say very easy, but it's easier to flip a program quicker. Like when a coach used to take over in the past, you would look at your roster and analyze what you wanted to keep, who you would try to get rid of, whatever the case may be, but you had to sit out or try to apply for a waiver. Now it's immediate transfer eligibility. So you could, what we did, we built an entire new roster with 13 new guys. And it's definitely different because you don't look for the glaring holes or what it is that didn't succeed last year. You're kind of just seeing how can we find the 13 best guys we can get with whatever money we have allocated and put them all. So this, it's not just a big jumble of whatever the case may be. It's just you want to find guys that can fit each other, play to each other's strengths. And I think one of the things we definitely focused on was shooting. We definitely wanted to surround guys on the court with shooting. We have a saying, don't shoot, can't recruit. So that's something we really focused on. But I'm excited. I mean, today was day four of our off-season summer workouts as a team. We're on the quarter or trimester system, so we're getting started a little later than other schools around the country. So this was day four for us. It's been really exciting to be a part of something where guys genuinely want this place to be flipped and succeed. And the fans buzzing around us. And Chicago really, DePaul is Chicago's team. As much as it's been the down team the last couple of years, Northwestern's been up, it's Chicago's, DePaul is Chicago's team. And we're excited to get it back to where it really needs to be.
Yeah, and I want to talk about a couple transfers that you guys just got. Both are 15 point per game scorers. Isaiah Rivera, I'm pretty sure they're 15 point per game scorers, and Jacob Meyer. So those are two guys that have came in. I believe Jacob's from Coastal, right?
Yep, Jacob's from Coastal, and he had an incredible freshman year. I believe he was all freshman team in the Coastal. I forget what their conference is. I think it's the CAA or one of those conferences down there. But
Yeah.
he had an incredible year. He's a left-handed shooter, very crafty, can get to the rim, super athletic. People don't really realize he's got bounce. He's a smaller guard, so people don't give him that credit. But I've seen some of the dunks he's thrown down in practice and some of the athletic plays he's made. So I'm really excited to see him on the court. As well as Isaiah Rivera, like you mentioned, starting off at Colorado State, where they were really good in the Mountain West, and he played in the backcourt with Isaiah Stevens and guys like that. Then transferring over to UIC, where the Missouri Valley is no joke either. I work with somebody, Tyler Hicks, who just came over from Illinois State, which is also in the Missouri Valley. And they say the Missouri Valley and the Atlantic 10 are like the Big East and Big 10 babies, you know, in the mid-major level. So that's what they say about those conferences. And seeing some of his film and analyzing it, comparing it to how it's going to transition to the Big East style of play. I really think Isaiah can be a bully down low on drives, and I think he could also help on the perimeter with his 3-point shooting ability.
100%. And those are our two bucket getters right there. That's instant offense. So I'm excited to see them thrive at a bigger school, obviously, coming off a season that is definitely able to be improved on. And I'm excited to watch them play. So for you, what are you excited about this season in terms of, jumping right into your second season, of course? Like, what are your goals in terms of like your growth, your development, like whether it's, just having the team win X amount of games or you kind of doing X in practice? Like, do you have personal goals this season for you? And if so, like, what's just like one of them that kind of sticks out to you?
Well, first off, I definitely want to win more than 3 games. I think that's the obvious one. We definitely want to have a better season in terms of win total, which hopefully won't be too difficult, but I'm excited to play our schedule. But other than that, I really want to improve my ability to develop players and player development, whether that's learning more from these guys. Like, I'm lucky to be on a staff right now that has, I think the number is four former, it's four or five former head coaches, whether that's Brandon Bailey with the Maine Red Claws in the G League, Laval Jordan at Butler, Coach Holtman, obviously, Coach Owens at Miami, Ohio. Just so many guys that have developed really good players or have taught so many people different things. I'm excited to learn how to develop our players more and translate that to my future, whether that's coaching or agency, like how to develop people into better human beings also off the court.
The best goal you can ask for. I think it's a really wholesome goal, and I'm really excited for you. your relationship with Coach Holtman, I mean, you guys are going to be coach and manager at two different schools. That has to be the most like fulfilling slash full circle type of moment for you. You talked about texting him late at night at like 2 a.m. or whatever. What was, and I know you were holding in your excitement at the end of the season, but what was the reaction? Like, what was the actual reaction? Was it like, oh shit, I can't believe my old coach is coming back? Obviously, it probably was that, but how did you feel? I just want to know, because that is something that a lot of people can't really ever feel, even in the NBA or any type of reunion like that. Like, I just want to know how it felt to you. And then, like, you know, kind of banking off of that, how do you expect your relationship to keep growing this season?
Yeah. So that moment I really found out it was happening. I mean, we were in our hotel in New York, getting ready for our game against Villanova, in the Big East tournament. And there were some reports that had come out initially that Porter Moser was going to get the job, and those quickly got shut down. He came out with something himself actually saying he was staying put and all those rumors were false. And then quickly the narrative changed to, I think it was Jeff Goodman or somebody put out like, DePaul is finalizing, like they're closing in on Coach Holtman as their next head coach, essentially.
And did you know that these talks were happening with Chris and DePaul or no?
Not exactly. There were rumors that he would maybe be involved. There was nothing like actually happening. He likes to work in silence. He's not going to put it out there and tell a bunch of people. So there weren't really, there were just murmurs, really.
Interesting.
So getting back into it, we're laying in the hotel, and I share a room when we travel with our head manager, Pat. So Pat's laying there, and I'm like, Pat, I don't know if this is true, but they're saying Coach Holtman might be the next coach. He's like, there's no way, blah, blah, blah. And we're sitting there and we're going to the game. We get on the bus and I'm just having all these mixed emotions because I want to win the game so bad, but I'm like in a different mental state because of what's potentially happening in a couple hours. And we get there, and I don't know if you tuned in, but after such a rough season, we had Villanova beat.
That was a great game. Oh my God. That was a great game.
We had them beat. We were up 12, I believe, in the second half. We were up 2 with 8 seconds left. And unfortunately, they hit a big 3. Is what it is. But I remember sitting in that moment, sitting behind the bench, and it was just like so many emotions running through my head because you obviously want to win the game, and you're just like, this is going to be an awesome moment if we win this, but I'm also thinking about the Coach Holtman era and what that's going to be like in the future. And so just a million things running through my mind, but unfortunately we lost that game, and quickly my mindset changed to, all right, one, am I going to stay? I mean, obviously I thought Coach Holtman was going to retain me, but one, am I going to stay? You never know, in today's day and age, but one, am I going to stay? And two, what's it going to look like around here with a completely new staff, completely new players, and just a million thoughts running through my mind. But yeah, that was an exciting moment. I remember getting on the plane on the ride back, and that was like when it became even more prominent in the morning, the day after that, like there were official tweets essentially out there, but it was just weird because I was around the old staff kind of, but I remember containing my excitement on the plane. And then when we landed, it was like almost official. It was done. And I remember like texting people outside, like some of my friends that were with me at Ohio State were like texting me like, no way this is happening, or whatever the case may be. So it was definitely a surreal feeling. I had to pinch myself a couple times to see if it was actually real. It didn't feel like it was real. I mean, if you told me a year ago that this is where we would be, I would tell you you're crazy. But of course, that's college basketball, and that's sports in general, where it's so unpredictable. And that goes back to what I was saying to you earlier in terms of just be where your feet are, because you never know who's going to get an opportunity and take you with you. And you never know who's watching to make a recommendation. So just putting your best foot forward constantly and just putting in that work, I think, is very important in terms of building that relationship.
Great advice. Great advice. And I think it all ties into just being yourself and following what you believe in. And here I'm like preaching right now, but I really am inspired by your advice, because you're in sports, you're in this world. I'm in this world. Like, not a lot of people understand how fast paced it is, how crazy it can be, the opportunities that come out of it. But I think it's important for people listening in today that maybe want to jump into sports to just be yourself. And if you can break into the industry, which you can, if as long as you try hard enough, you just got to take advantage of the moment and just kind of appreciate these moments that happen. Because what you're telling me about Coach Holtmann going to DePaul after you spent time with him at Ohio State, you cannot make that up. So happy for you. Last
and
thing.
To answer your second part of your question, I just completely thought, I didn't answer your part of, how the relationship's going to be different now as not a manager. You would ask that question or second opportunity or whatever. It's definitely going to be different. I mean, as a manager, I didn't get to sit in on meetings and see what he's like behind closed doors and how much thought goes into practice planning and watching film on players we're going to get and all that stuff. So learning more on that side has definitely been unique. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I wanted to answer that part as well. So
I appreciate you answering. Yeah, and I'm sure like there's just like a higher level of trust this time around, obviously. Like he's worked before, so like you're probably the guy that he leans on a lot and probably respects a lot. Not even probably, he definitely does. So thank you for clarifying that. Last thing before I let you go, I want to know what the NBA draft was like. I'm curious. Obviously, Khalil Ware got drafted by the Heat.
Yep. Miami.
15th overall.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. All right, good. Went 2 for 2 there. What was it like to kind of be right there in a really impactful moment of a client of your dad's? I mean, such a sick experience, I'm sure, being at the draft. I don't think that was your first draft. I think you've been to a couple. What's it like to see all these young guys kind of, you know, have their dreams come true?
Yeah, I mean, first off, it's a feeling of constant anxiety as soon as you walk in the building, knowing my dad was lucky enough to sit in the green room at the table with him. So seeing him down there and seeing the nerves in his eyes when I went down to see him prior to the draft is definitely exciting. But, you know, you're sitting there tapping your foot until the pick happens. But it's awesome to see these kids, their emotions, their true emotions come out and see some of these kids have come from really rough upbringings or situations where this was very meaningful for them. And you could tell, and all the emotion comes out. So seeing that's really unique. And every time I go to the draft, whether my dad has a client in it or whatever the case may be, it's an awesome experience. It gives you the chills to see people around you supporting people that are in the green room or whatever the case may be. So it's definitely an exciting feeling.
That's a great, great way to end this. Thank you so much, Corey, for jumping on again. I know it was hard to figure this out, but I'm glad we've had some time to connect. For those of you that listened, please follow DePaul Basketball. They are coming for a really good season, I promise you. They added a lot of great pieces, and it's only up from here, especially adding a very well-respected head coach that has made some NCAA tournament appearances. So, you know, we got a couple months for that. But Corey, thank you so much and wish you all the best, man. We'll be in touch.
No doubt. Anytime. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Anytime.